Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
Hump.
I love BJ's
fur circus.
Steven Ricker's testicles.
T-butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No, no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary filipula.
Filipuli.
Filipalapala.
Wow 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And now, Iceman Insights, starring senior writer, webmaster, and heartthrob of my 7-year-old daughter, the one she calls Mikey Shockey.
Ooh.
Michael Shockley, Derek Benigni, Iceman Insights, how you doing? Shocky.
I'm doing better now. I like that. That's nice.
And we learned last night at the game, because this is live in the studio at 1 o'clock.
Live in the studio.
That she likes you a lot more than Brad Perkins.
Really?
She was screaming and yelling and hoping you would save her from the evil
cowbell
ringing Brad Perkins.
Yeah, Brad was ready to stuff her into a trash can or something.
Yeah, got a little scrap on the concourse. In the second intermission. But anyway, since our last show, we've had 3 games and one that was played after the show was recorded. And that was fantastic because I was getting texts at 1:10 in the afternoon last week, last Wednesday, saying, Derek, the score was 3-2 or 4-3. Not and the Iceman lost. So we got a couple of suckers. We roped a couple of dopes.
So we were alive in the studio, but people thought we were alive in the studio.
Yeah, we were lying in the studio.
All right. So, yes, last Wednesday, the Education Day game against Elmira, the Iceman lost 3-2. 7,607 screaming children, and holy crap, it was shriekingly loud.
It was loud, but you know what? Mike Seidel, former Evansville Iceman, he nets the game winner. He looked good, too. He was getting power play time. I really thought last year that it was just the old college. They only play 40 games, and I thought the length of the season really dragged him down. He looked better than I'd seen him all last year.
Yeah, he looked really good. It was a 2-2 game after one period, and it was a really good first period. And then it was all downhill from there. The Jackals outshot the Icemen 21-2 over the first 15 minutes of the second period. And in the midst of that stretch, Sial scored the eventual game winner on a power play. Icemen did play better in the third period but could not tie it. And it was a 3-2 loss in regulation. Cal Heater stopped 38 of 41 shots in net for the Icemen, although he did get some assistance from the posts 3 times. Elmira hit the posts. So if not for fortunate bounces off the posts and Heater standing on his head, that game could have been a lot worse than 3-2.
And that sounds a lot like Friday night.
Yeah. Wheeling came to town on Friday night. The Icemen victorious 6-3. Wheeling was up 1-0 with a 10-0 edge in shots at the midway point of the first period, but it was pretty much all Icemen after that. Chris Dreger stopped 39 of 42 shots. Miles Bell scored his first career hat trick in just his 5th professional game, and he went down to the wire, too, completed it with just 2 minutes and 8 seconds left in that game.
Boy, he is fantastic to watch.
He's got hands, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And speaking of hands, Nailers rookie forward Mattia Markantuoni, or Tommy Mason's nightmare.
Yeah, I screwed it up a few times on Nailer Radio myself.
Also had a hat trick, and all due respect to Miles Bell, I thought Mark Antuoni was the best player on the ice. He has got sick hands and sick speed. It seemed like every time he was on the ice, he was behind RD.
Yeah, well, except we're in the defensive zone when he was covering down low as the center should and was intercepting passes right out front and turning and burning right up back up the ice. Yeah, he's a fantastic player. And that's why I love this level. I love this ECHL competition because you get a couple of looks at guys like this, and he may be wearing a Penguins jersey here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, he is under contract to the Penguins. And I won't be surprised one bit if he ends up in the NHL. He could very well be the first player we see at the Ford Center who makes his debut in the NHL after having played here.
Yep.
So we'll see. Remember that name. I'm sure Tommy Mason will never forget that name. Also, something of note, someone else who could end up working his way up to the NHL, the referee in that game on Friday was Mike McCreary, who is the son of longtime NHL referee Bill McCreary.
And he looked a lot like him, too.
He did, too.
Stature,
short,
and
stocky.
A little bit of party coming out the backside of the helmet there.
Yeah, and his dad, Bill, will actually be enshrined in the Hockey Hall of Fame next week. He is in the 2014 class, and he was a first ballot Hall of Famer and will be just the 16th official to make it into the Hall of Fame. So cool news there. And Bill McCreary, one of the best refs you'll ever see in this game. And I thought his son called a solid game, too. He's been working his way up the ranks. I'm not sure how old he is, but he's been working his way up, and I know he worked in the USHL and juniors for a while, worked two All-Star games there. So he's working his way up the ladder, and one day we may hear about him calling games in the NHL too. So pretty cool there. Not so cool the next game.
Yeah.
Saturday in Toledo, the Icemen blanked 5-0, outshot 36-14, and that's all I've got to say about that.
I've got one thing to say. That road trip sucks.
Yeah,
road trip is miserable. And that one you can – first of all, we struggle in Toledo. It's a tough building to play in. It's a great hometown crowd. That building feels like it's right on top of you, so they do have home ice advantage. And that drive just sucks. And to do that after a game and travel through the night,
that's rough.
Yeah, that one's going to be one that we're going to win very seldom, this team and all the teams in the future. It's a nightmare drive.
And Tuesday night, last night, quote unquote, the Orlando Solar Bears came to town having lost 7 in a row, and they had just had Mickey Lang called up by your beloved Toronto Marlies the morning of the game. And they came in with the worst power play in the league, and they went 2-for-3 on the power play, outshot us, and won 5-4.
Yeah, it's a sign of the apocalypse.
Yes.
Well, you go on Facebook, and I know it's not the feeling of all the fans, just a few very loudmouth fans, which I guess we're going to deal with a couple of them in the next segment.
We'll get to that a little later.
But there's nothing to panic about. Orlando is going to be right around a 500 team because they always are. So if they're on an 0-5-2 skid, it just means that they're going to. And we're going to be around a 500 team, give or take a point, plus or minus. So we've got a losing streak that's coming up, and boom, we're in the midst of it. So when it all shakes down to it, you got to get 84 points. That's about usually that cutoff for to make the playoffs, and that's what you're looking for. So, and stats don't mean anything. You ought to know that by now. When a team comes in, here's a team that's got to play desperate, and they're playing on the road, and that's a great time. You want to be on a losing streak when you're on the road because you can rally the troops, and you don't have to worry about wives and girlfriends.
There's no pressure.
And public things and anything else. The team can just get together. You can eat together. You build a little chemistry, and you get on the road, and you try to steal a couple of wins. And I'm not worried about the Icemen. Their defensive zone coverage, I texted Bill Nadeau, said it reminds me an awful lot of the Red Dragons' defensive zone coverage, except ours might be a little bit better. But they're struggling in from the blue line in. There's guys that are wide open. And the game-winning goal tonight is set up. There's a guy. Last night was a guy wide open in the slot. He gets the pass, beauty save by Dreiger. And then they work the puck in the corner, and he's wide open again.
Yeah.
And they throw it out to him, and he scores this time. And I said, well, I guess there's no reason to cover him.
Yeah. This team is struggling with defensive zone coverage and also zone entry offensively. It seems like we don't do much dump and chase. We try to carry it in or pass it in, but it seems like this team turns it over in the neutral zone like crazy. And until they can start getting it in the zone more consistently, it's going to be a struggle. So they're going to have to figure out how to gain the zone, and once they get it there, keep it there. And then, yes, at the other end of the ice, the defensive zone coverage needs some work as well.
See, I think they're fine offensively. As soon as they get past the defensive blue line, they don't bother me at all. I think they play awesome. It's just inside the zone. And it's getting better because the other night, Friday night, I counted five times. Well, Education Day game, there was six times in that first period there was opponents in front of the net with nobody around
yeah.
them. And tonight I only saw it once the entire game. So
last night.
Oh, yeah, last night.
So what do you think the attendance, you probably haven't seen the box score. What do you think the announced official, well, it wasn't announced, but what do you think the official attendance was on
Tuesday
night?
The old Iceman calculator? We got to get the sound effect in. Yeah. I would say the official, so I was guessing there's about 750 there, and they usually add about 1,500 to it. So I'm guessing 2,346?
2,664.
Sorry, yeah. It's exactly right.
Yeah. A couple things to note from that game. Andre Bouvet-Morissette returned to the lineup after missing a few games with a shoulder injury. Unfortunately, his return was offset by Jakub Sulak did not play with a back injury.
He was missing, wasn't he?
Yeah. And it took me a while to figure it out. I knew we had a forward that was scratched because Andre came back. But I was like looking at the roster, like, who's not here? And then I realized it was Sulak and found out later from a source who will be never named, but his name rhymes with crying stall. told me that Sulak has a lower back injury, so I don't know how bad it is. Hopefully not bad, because we miss him in the lineup.
Well, and obviously, if you have seen any game, if you have seen one period this season of the Iceman, you saw Patrick Kennedy.
Yeah.
And he is amazing. He is so much better than he ever has been.
Yeah.
And he is so much better than pretty much anyone at this level. I mean, he played that well. And him getting called up to Utica Friday night, it just takes a big hole out of it. And they'll survive and they'll put it all together and everything else. But once they get healthy, and even like Sakaris, he just came back from injury. Mm-hmm. Mo is fighting through that shoulder issue, mm-hmm. and now you got Sulak out. Once it all falls into place, this team's going to rattle off 6-7 wins in a row. We're going to be in first place, and some knucklehead's going to say that rhymes with Byron Muff is going to say, I told coach how to change the team, and now they're doing what I told them to do, and that's why they're winning.
Yeah, yeah. One other thing I thought was funny on at the game on Tuesday night, I was walking through the concourse before the game started. It was between when they announced the opposing starters and when the game starts. And there was a kid that was maybe 8, 10 years old walking through the concourse, just randomly. It was like he had Tourette's. He was just randomly walking around the concourse screaming at the top of his lungs, "Sucks!" Just not to anything, just "Sucks!" And I was like, wow, that's...
He's got a career.
Yeah, that's a little Iceman fan to be proud of. But anyway, one last thing I wanted to mention. Back to the Friday game, you had dinner with certain visiting broadcaster on Thursday night.
Not just me. The whole family came over to the house, hung out Thursday night.
And you somehow talked your way into the booth for Friday's game.
Yes, I did.
How'd that go?
DJ Abisala, we became friends last year. It's really cool when you work at this level. Oh, I thought you were priming to say something.
I was going to say, are you BFFs?
Oh, heck yeah, we're
BFFs.
Yeah, we got the rings and everything.
Do you have a secret handshake?
No, we don't need one. But
do you shake something else?
No, what? Come on now. You already got one of our seven faithful listeners in trouble for saying the no-no touchy place with his driving around with his daughter in the car. But anyways, it's really cool because everyone's doing the exact same job with hockey teams. All the players know each other from playing on teams before and everything else. So when you get to a rink, home or away, everyone's like hanging out and talking and catching up and everything else. And same with the broadcasters. And we've got to do some specific work-related stuff, like work on pronunciations and help each other out with interesting tidbits and facts and everything else. And you just have a lot of fun with these guys. And we kicked it off last year, and the place that we say, the Ogle Bay Resort in Wheeling, is fantastic. And we just had an opportunity last year. I took the family out for the playoffs, and I did color commentating with DJ during the playoff run for Wheeling, and so he came to town, and he knows the girl, so we had dinner and had a blast and swapped a few stories and told some stories that I will never tell on the radio, let alone not tell ever, regarding coaching staffs in the past and incidences, and I'm not talking about the Iceman. I'm talking about
elsewhere.
His experiences and my previous experiences and everything else. But we just had a good old time, and then, Sean was cool with me coming up and doing color commentating. I didn't want to step on his shoulders or anything, or step on his toes or anything like that. But we did the game for Naylor Broadcast, and we had a lot of fun. He's got an interesting style. He's been around the league for a while. He's done juniors in a while, so he really knows the players and everything else. And he is opinionated, and he does not like Kevin Harvey.
Really?
And there's no, like, touchy footing around it. It's just like, he's a cheap shot artist. 2 years ago, he hit that guy from behind after the whistle and gave him a concussion, and he's running loose again here at the Ford Center. So there's no gray area with DJ. It's just that just makes it fun, because then you can, even though you're the color guy, you can kind of be the straight guy and just kind of laugh and everything else. So it works out really well. But we get along great. Our styles mesh really well, and we have a lot of fun, except for when you do all your notes and you're ready to go, and you have no idea that Mattia Marcantuonio has just been sent down, so you're not prepared with a pronunciation guide at all
just,
for that one.
Just call him Eminem.
Holy moly, that was a tough one.
So what was your experience in adjusting doing color instead of play-by-play?
It's really easy, because I don't have to talk all the time.
You're used to not talking all the time on this show.
But I like conversational style broadcasting, doing it and listening to it. So I do what I want my color man to do, whether it's Bill Nadeau or my brother or anything else when we've done it. So I'll carry the play, and then you fill in when you see things, when there's a stoppage of play or in the neutral zone. So, and then I know DJ has to do some statistics when there's a goal scored. So he'll call the goal, and then he'll go silent. So knowing that, I know I can describe the whole entire play because he's making all of his notes. So I just fill in I do just as much work as I do for a broadcast. Rebecca was laughing at me, but I have all my notes and everything else, and I just fill in little tidbits and what I see. Plus, you get to watch behind the play. So, like, oh, there's a fight brewing behind the play. You know, so you get to throw in little things like that. So.
Yeah. I know. I had a lot of fun when I did color on the first two Iceman playoff games that Rickard and I did back in the very first season of Iceman hockey. I agree. I did color. He did play-by-play, but I spent pretty much the whole drive from here to Battle Creek preparing for it and taking notes and having all sorts of little things ready to throw in. And once you get on the air, I had never called a hockey game in that way. I mean, Rickard and I had a rapport from being on the headsets together at Swander, but I'd never called action of a hockey game before. So it was one of those things where I didn't really know what to expect going in. But because we had that rapport, by halfway through the first period, we were sailing. Yep. We were good. And it's just, you take a little bit of time to feel it out with whoever you're working with, but once you get in a groove, it's like riding a bike.
Yeah, I had forgotten he was coming to town, but we had exchanged texts a couple of weeks ago, and I'm pretty much going back out there for the playoffs. If they make the playoffs, I'm going to do a bunch more games. We've already kind of set that up, so it's just a lot of fun, and I just love hockey, so I'll go anywhere, any day, to talk hockey to anybody.
You know, they're in our division now.
Oh, I know.
What happens if it's Iceman against Nailers in the first round?
Well,
where will your allegiance lie?
Well, for 21 hours and 30 minutes, it'll lie with the Iceman, but for 2.5 hours of a broadcast, I will be looking through Naylor color glasses. So
I see.
But no, I mean, my style is, you know, kind of the exact opposite. I told them in my interview 2 years ago that I will never talk bad about anybody, because I don't know what the story is. I don't know what the situation is. And I never know when that kid is going to get traded to our club. So I won't talk bad about a Matt Krug. I won't talk bad about a Fort Wayne Comet player, because there may be a chance that he comes back in and that we trade for him eventually, or he becomes free agent and comes to town. So right. It's going to happen eventually. So I'm not, so that's my style and it can go anywhere. So, and I just like hockey. I just call it the way I see it. And so I'm not too worried about it.
Cool.
But that would be sweet. Yeah. That would cut down on some of my travel.
Well, I think it's safe to say there would be a lot of Iceman fans who would be listening to Nailers Radio.
Yep. Yeah, well, we picked up a few over the weekend on Friday night. I tweeted it out that I was doing it, so I know a couple of people listened in and enjoyed it. So
cool.
I think probably one of the best lines of the night was I noticed something behind the play, and it was a penalty, and I told it, and DJ said, and that's why it's good to have a color commentator. He gets, because he's all excited. He's like, he can watch behind the play and give you information like that. And I said, I'm also looking at all the pretty girls here at the Ford Center. And trying to flag down the beer man. So, but anyways, Iceman transactions.
All right, Peter Sakaris activated from injured reserve last Wednesday. He did make his season debut in the Education Day game. Meanwhile, Wes Myron played in the Education Day game and then was placed on team suspension the next day. No word on what's behind that. In big news, Cal Heater was loaned to your beloved Toronto Marlies last Wednesday.
Love it.
After playing in the Education Day game, he had been in camp with both the Leafs and the Marlies. Apparently, Toronto's goaltender Antoine Bibeau left the team for a few days to attend a funeral. So they brought Heater in to fill his spot, and he did start a game Saturday at Oklahoma City, made 48 saves on 52 shots in a 4-3 overtime loss.
Good thing he's been primed by the Iceman defense.
Yeah, seeing a lot of rubber. And he was released by the Marlies on Sunday, but did not return to the Iceman because he signed a one-month tryout in the KHL, which is the league that is primarily based in Russia. But with a team in Zagreb, Croatia. Zagreb's starting goalie, former NHLer Barry Brust, just signed a more lucrative deal with another KHL team, which apparently he had an exit clause in his contract that said, if another team in the same league offers me more money, I can sign with them. That's a weird contract clause. Yep. So they needed a goalie. Their backup is still there, but he's not very good. So Zagreb signed Heater to a tryout and one other goalie to a standard contract to compete for the starting job. Even if Heater doesn't win the starting gig, they may end up keeping him around to replace their currently inadequate backup. So we'll see what happens. While he is over there, the Icemen have placed him on team suspension to retain his ECHL rights in case he does not stick in the K and comes back to the ECHL. So,
anytime you have an opportunity to go anywhere with hockey and they're going to pay you for it, you got to go.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of good stories and horror stories from the KHL, but what the heck? It's 1 month. Give it a shot. He's going to make more money in that 1 month than he'll make possibly in 2 years here.
Right.
Now, whether he'll be able to collect it or not, and the mafia and all those rumors, it's all part of the KHL thing.
That's the risk you take. But
but why not? Give it a shot. Yeah. I mean, it's worth it. You get to check out a whole new world. One of the stories I've heard from over there is you don't have a car and it's hard to get to any place, so you just stand on the curb and people just pull up in their car and you just open up their car door and say, I'm going here, and they tell you where they're going, and if it's close you jump in their car and they drive you there, and then you give them a couple of bucks. So it's like everyone is
a taxi. Interesting.
So I mean, it's just awesome experience. So plus he gets away from the Sens affiliation, which is always good in my opinion.
Here in Evansville, Heater's replacement in net is Brandon Kamm, who was the last goalie cut during training camp. After he was cut here, he had not signed anywhere else, and he is with the team and wearing number 41, which I believe he's the first player to wear 41 since Isaac Coy.
Weird goalie number there.
Yeah, so. It is. You don't see that very often. I think Yaroslav Halak, I think, wears 41. But I can't think of any others off the top of my head that I've seen wear 41. Of course, you never know if that was his choice or if that was just a jersey that was laying around and they threw his name on it. Saturday, before the game in Toledo, as mentioned before, Patrick Kennedy recalled by AHL Utica. They are the affiliate of the Vancouver Canucks, and the Canucks had two injuries up front, so they called two forwards up from the Comets with a C, And that meant Utica needed to call up some reinforcements. So they called up Kennedy, and they also called up a player who was playing with their affiliate in Kalamazoo. So I don't know how long-term the injuries are at the higher levels, so we may or may not see him again.
Well, and it depends. If they see in him what we saw in him in the first seven games, we may be getting someone else. Or someone else may be getting moved down, and he doesn't come back.
Right.
So, gosh, I cannot believe. I mean, you just think – I mean, he had a decent year 3 years ago. I think he had 16 goals and 23 assists or something like that. He was tied with the team league. I think three or four guys, he and Jason Dale, all had 16 goals. But from that time 3 years ago, coming out of the CHL to what he is now, he's a machine.
It's night and day.
Yeah.
Also on Saturday, when Kennedy was called up.
This is a beauty here.
Yeah, the Iceman acquired Tom Serator from Toledo for future considerations. So that was one of those deals where you just wake up in the morning thinking you're going to play for the home team, and you end up switching benches and playing for the other team. But that's life at this level, I guess. Serator is a rookie forward out of the University of Minnesota, and he is wearing number 9.
Not to be confused with Zach Curry, who wears number 23, Steven Rickard. Did you see that last night at the game, first intermission? He said, we'll do an interview with, I don't know where the screw-up was, but it was Serator, which kind of sounds like Zach Curry. So the Ford Center audiovisual put Zach Curry's name up.
Whoops.
And when Rickard was interviewing Tom Serator, so it was kind of funny because I was sitting there, I'm like, that's not Zach Curry.
Interesting. Yep. And then more new blood on Tuesday. The Iceman signed a rookie forward named Ben Warda. He had 3 points in 6 games in the SPHL with the Peoria Rivermen this season, and he was a college product of Michigan State and Western Michigan.
The one thing that I may hate more than anything to do with the Ottawa Senators is the Western Michigan Broncos. I mean, that's just the story of my season here. Everything I root for is everything I hate. But being from Michigan and being a proud alumnus of Central Michigan University Fire Up Chip Chippewas, Western Michigan Broncos, just bad, bad, bad folk there. Guaranteed. But anyways, 24/7.
Try that again. Rewind.
Use your big boy words.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You want to keep track of all the comings and goings. And as Ryan Huff and Kevin Ziegler talk about, the implosion of the Iceman locker room, the lack of organizational control, and the fact that no one likes anyone in the Iceman organization. You can follow all of Ryan Huff and Kevin Ziegler's drama on IcemanManiacs.com. Just click on over to the Maniac message board for the updated roster. And, of course, you can follow Ryan Huff and Kevin Ziegler and their maniacal sayings in the Maniacs Asylum on Facebook. What's up next?
The next segment.
Oh, jeez.
The return. After its wonderful debut last week, it's Mad Speculation by the Mad Scientist, Dr. Dirty D.
Yep.
This is 100% free of facts because the truth hurts way more than making stuff up. Last week, you revealed that Peter Sakaris had missed time due to somnambulism.
Somnambulism, yes. That is correct. And I said he needed to, what Brian Patafi and the medical staff decided was he needed to take an antiseptic blood bath. And guess what happened?
He's back.
He returned to the
right
lineup.
He's magically healed.
One for one.
Of course, you said he had a lower body injury, and that's what it was. And I looked it up. I was like, what the heck is this?
Yep.
So I looked it up. You know what somnambulism really is?
Yes, I do.
Sleepwalking.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yep. How about that?
Who knew? So anyway.
I did.
This week's case. Yeah. All you need is the bloodbath.
Yep.
Right.
Antiseptic bloodbath.
Yeah, antiseptic.
Not just a general bloodbath.
Right. That's very important.
Yes.
So this week's case is young defenseman Daniel Johnston, who was acquired from the Colorado Eagles for Nathan Moon on October 28th, but still has not made his Iceman debut. He is currently on reserve and still a week or two away from making his team debut, due to, quote, a few little dings, end quote, according to Coach Mullins on ESPN Evansville 105.3 last week. So, my question for you, sir, is, What are the few little dings that are keeping Mr. Johnston on the shelf?
Yeah, I don't want to step on Coach Mullins' toes. He's a fantastic coach, fantastic guy. But, yeah, a few little dings is the way to say it, because the actual medical condition that Daniel Johnston is, we are speculating, going through is he is actually struggling with gelatinous tubercles of purulent ossification. So,
you know, I had that once in college, exactly. And that is a B, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah. That's a little more than taking a little penicillin and fixing that one up.
Yeah, so you got to go see that guy down on Fifth Street.
Yep. So once we get the swelling down of those gelatinous tubercles, then they can get into the purulent ossification, and that'll all clear up, and he'll be back on the ice. So,
so how do you get the swelling of the gelatinous tubercles down, pray tell?
Antiseptic blood bath. I'm not prepared with this is mad speculation. It's not. I'm not the mad pharmacy.
Well, you are the doctor, though. You're a doctor, Dirty D.
Yes.
You got to have answers, man.
I just have speculations. Oh. So there you go. Next up, our best. Everyone's probably tuned out at this point. Shockers. Hockey Rocks song of the week.
All right, this is a simple one. Because last night's game, notice I said last night.
I noticed that.
Was on Veterans Day, and it was Military Appreciation Night. This is a song I played at Swander anytime we did any sort of military or veterans-themed evening. This is Lee Greenwood, God Bless the USA.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. The men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. Today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Youthink has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, Youthink has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our Youthink family of supporters.
Now Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And we are back. Dirty D, Shockey.
Iceman
Insights Jersey Auction Recap.
Wait. What station are we on?
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Got to pay the bills. 96.9 FM. WYIR. The Wired. There we go. I almost went right on to the next sentence.
Use your big boy words.
Ooh, it's a rough one.
All right.
Afternoon.
Yeah. Looking at the jersey auction that took place after Friday's game, a local student designed the jerseys that the Iceman wore during the Education Day game last
week. Looked fantastic.
And they were auctioned off after Friday's game. The players were not taking part in the auction, though, because they were getting on the bus and heading to Toledo for the aforementioned train wreck of a 5-0 loss.
Yep.
But anyway, the auction fetched a total of $7,360, which is an average of $283 per jersey, which still sounds like a lot to those of us, well, guys like me and you.
Yep.
But
that have never bought one. Have you ever bought one?
No. But that was way down from most Iceman auctions. The top 10 were a team signed jersey signed by everyone for $650 bucks.
That makes sense. I thought it was just a blank one. That like, wow. We are on a sinking ship here when the blank jersey draws more than anyone else.
Yeah. Miles Bell, $600.
That's a good investment there.
Yeah. Yeah. He had the hat trick that night on Friday night. Guy Lepine, 470. Matt Lowry, 400. Chris Driedger, 350. Cal Heater, 310.
Of course, the goalies.
Yep. And then four guys at $300. Troy Rutkowski, Randy Cure, Jarrett Lucan, and Patrick Kennedy.
I'm surprised Kennedy's was that low.
Well, I mean, that's middle of the pack, really,
yep,
in this one. Others of note, Brandon Wong went for 290. Andre Bouvet-Morissette, 275, even though he didn't play in that game. Peter Sakaris also 275, Donnie Harris 265, Kevin Harvey and Jakub Sulek 260 each, and Kale Kerbashian only $250. A couple things of note, there were some jerseys of guys that had been in training camp and never even played a game. There was also a number 8 jersey for Danny New, who is in Binghamton, under contract to Binghamton, and has never even been here, not even in camp.
Wow.
But there was a jersey for him, and they sold it for $125. And the biggest mystery of the night was there was a number 9 jersey, and the last name on it was Evanoff, E-V-A-N-O-F-F. And I have absolutely no freaking idea who that was supposed to be, because the only active player with the last name of Evanoff in all of hockey right now, according to Elite Prospects, is a college club player over in Missouri.
Wow.
Yeah. So that jersey still went for $100, and I'm thinking maybe
I'd have bought that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, maybe the mystery Evanoff jersey is Chuck.
I believe it
is the player to be named
and
later.
What a great job last night by Brad Perkins, the Iceman, down 4-1. He starts
we want Chuck
chant and brought us right back into the game.
Yeah.
So by the power of Chuck,
yes,
Chuck Evanoff,
indeed. The next jersey auction is December 20th, which is the night of the Christmas with the Iceman game. They have not said what the design will be, but I'm hoping for ugly Christmas sweaters.
I hope not.
You don't like those?
No. I was talking with the guys in the locker room a couple of weeks ago, Red Dragons Rule, but there's two completely different schools of thought at the ECHL level, and neither one of them is wrong. Neither one of them is right. It's just two different schools of thought. And one school of thought is it's all about publicity. It's all about having fun. It's all about bringing the fans in, having fun with them, and making them fall in love with the game so that the franchise can stay here. Then there are the other ones that just want to play professional hockey.
Yeah.
And they don't want to see the Batman and the Riddler. They don't want to see the ugly sweaters. They don't want to see tuxedo jerseys or skeleton jerseys or jack-o'-lantern jerseys.
Those skeleton jerseys Utah wore were awesome.
I thought they were god ugly. So,
we have the two schools of thought right here.
Yeah, yes, we do. So, no, I really liked last year. I like the affiliation. I love those the candy stripe Ottawa jerseys that the Iceman wore when when there was the shooting up in Ottawa, but you put an Iceman patch on it. That's the kind of stuff I like.
I love
vintage tradition jersey, but stick an Iceman patch on it with your affiliate or whatever else.
I thought my favorite specialty jerseys last year were the Columbus ones.
Yes.
That design was awesome.
That's what I'm talking about. Yep. Yep. Put the Iceman on there. Put the BJs and the Falcons on the shoulders. And then you've got, not only is it an awesome looking jersey, but it's a statement of time. Mm-hmm. You know, this is when we were affiliated. This reminds me of Alex Aliardi. This reminds me of Joe Lavin. This reminds me of Thomas Larkin and Jeremy Langlois. So
think if they had done that the year that we were affiliated with the Blues.
There's
so many Blues fans here. If they had done a Blues jersey with an Iceman logo on it, oh, man.
I'd have sold them like crazy.
Those would have flown off like hotcakes. Yep. So, anyway.
Indeed.
Speaking of affiliates.
Oh, yeah. The big O-Nos and BS Nation.
It's time to check in on the Ottawa Senators.
They suck. The Leafs destroyed them
on
Sunday. Shorthanded goal.
Yeah.
Mike Santarelli on the way to a 5-3 victory.
Senators goaltender Craig Anderson was named the NHL's second star of the week last week.
Good American.
He went 2-0-1 with, this is some impressive stats, a .65 goals against average and a .981 save percentage. But unfortunately for Ottawa, he did not play Sunday as the Battle of Ontario resumed, as you mentioned.
Not much of a battle. It's more like a skirmish for Ontario at this point.
The Leafs beat Robin Lehner five times en route to that 5-3 victory. That was actually the makeup game of the game that was postponed due to the shootings in Ottawa. And I thought it was cool. Both teams actually met at the War Memorial in Ottawa before the game and placed a wreath at the Canadian Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Very cool. But that togetherness and respect did not transfer into the stands. Did you see about the fight in the stands?
No, I just... It's fans.
Knuckleheads.
Yep.
Beer. Yeah, there usually is. There was a Sens fan and a Leafs fan jawing in the stands, and then a second Leafs fan came up and poured beer, a full beer, all over the Sens fan, and then all heck broke loose. And
we're a Christian radio station. You can say hell. We actually prefer you to say hell.
Yeah, all Hades broke loose.
Yeah,
and the two who were in it in the first place tumbled down the stairs, and it was like in a commercial where the room stops and everyone gasps at the same time because someone was recording it on their phone and it's on YouTube and everywhere everyone can see it.
I think it's on my Facebook page.
Yeah. But you see these two guys pushing and shoving and then all of a sudden they're not there anymore. It was scary, but I don't know if they were okay, but I thought it was funny. Puck Daddy covered it, and one of the commenters, I think, hit the nail right on the head when they said, probably couldn't hurt them to spend a night or two in the hospital and or jail. It will serve them well.
Yeah, it just it's a hobby. It's a sport. I just don't get, and don't get me wrong, I'm passionate. I've thrown my four-year-old daughter out of the house after a Leaf loss because she's cheered against them, so I've thrown her out in the snow and the cold in her nightgown.
You've got to learn her somehow.
Yes, but I don't get it, and we're not talking about Boston and L.A. Kings here. We're talking about the freaking Maple Leafs. What do you have to fight about?
Yeah.
I mean,
you both suck.
Yeah. The Leafs have missed the playoffs 10 of 11 years, and Ottawa hasn't done. They had a nice run 1 year with Ray Emery in the net to the Stanley Cup final where they got swept, and they've barely made it back to the playoffs since then. What are you fighting about? Unless my team sucks more than yours. That's about the only argument you could potentially have. And I don't think as a Leaf fan that you can win that argument against Ottawa. They are a much better team than we are. But their owners were. So, I just don't get it.
I think the lesson is stupidity is always amplified by alcohol.
Yeah, I think stupidity is always amplified by Ottawa. But whatever. Potato, potato. Oh, my goodness. Are we really doing this? Real men of genius.
Yes.
Real men of genius.
Oh, boy.
That was horrible.
That was lovely.
The worst thing about this is my daughter hears this, and she will not stop singing it. In the car, in our house, it will be nonstop.
That makes it all worth it, then. So we haven't debutted a new one of these in quite a while, but we've done six or seven of them in the past. And all of the ones we have done in the past are available on IcemanManiacs.com. If you click over to the podcast page under the archive of Insights shows, there is an archive of the Real Men of Genius spots where it's just them. So you can download them and listen to them at your leisure. I think this one, the first one in quite a while that we've debutted, is a perfect lead-in for what will be our next topic in a few minutes. This is Mr. We Lost, So It's the End of the World Guy.
Iceman Insights presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. We Lost, So It's the End of the World Guy.
Mr. We Lost, So It's the End of the World Guy.
It's a really long season, and nobody, not even the coach, realistically expects to win every single game. But you do.
I have high standards.
You just won 7 in a row, and you dominated tonight's game before losing in a shootout. But it's clearly time to throw in the towel.
I'm canceling my season tickets.
Indeed, the season is over. The team is in shambles. The players hate each other and the coach. Start the fire sale now.
Trade every last one of them.
So we salute you, oh pursuer of perfection, because when everyone else sees just a small spark of strife, you see a full-fledged dumpster fire.
Mr. We Lost, So It's the End of the World Guy.
IcemanManiac.com, WIIR, Evansville, Indiana.
And we're back. The hat trick this week for Iceman Insights. Yeah. Three segments, Michael Shockley, Derek Benigni, in the studios of 96.9 FM, Wired Radio. Psst. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. You've been waiting for it.
Had to contact you last week to make sure this got into the segment.
Yes. I was thinking it would probably make the cut anyway, but here we go. As alluded to with Real Men of Genius, this is the long-awaited return of the Maniac Asylum Lunatic of the Week. Or in this case, Lunatics of the Week.
We do have dual lunatics. We can call them president and co-president of the Lunatics of the Week.
Take it away.
First, it starts with my teammate, Kevin Ziegler.
I think it's Ziegler.
No, it is Ziegler.
Is it really?
Because there's two sides to him. There is the fun-loving Kevinsville, Kevin Ziegler, goal scorer, all-around good guy. But then he does like this Jekyll and Hyde thing, and he becomes the Ziegler.
Ooh.
And he goes into the asylum saying things, this may surprise you, with no facts.
Wait, what?
All speculation and just blasting it all over the asylum.
And if there's anything we can't stand here at the show that has a segment called Mad Speculation, it's speculation.
We don't have a problem with speculation, but if you remember all the way back to our first season, this is accountability talk radio.
Yes.
Not just talk radio.
We will speculate for fun.
Yes.
But speculating as if you are dispersing facts to the masses, unfounded facts to the masses, is an entirely different thing.
So Kevin Ziegler goes on record saying, first Moon wants out, then Dirk Southern retires, the equipment manager quits, and now someone else left the team. He couldn't even say Wesley Myron because it was four posts earlier. I guess he forgot
who it was, yeah. Well, so, you know, it's such a dumpster fire. So many guys have left the team. How can you keep them all straight?
Exactly. And he says, something is going on in that locker room. My intuition is that the coach is hard to play for. Well,
as stated by Derek Benigni last week. Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah, I think you did.
Oh, yeah, I did. But that was in jest. But here is Kevin Ziegler, who is a member of the Evansville Team Hockey League's Red Dragons, that has struggled to have their own players show up for games. That Bill Nadeau misses two games this season. Even Kevin Ziegler himself missed a game this season. And we are 1-3-1 on the season. So I think it's a little hypocritical, if I can use that term, on the Christian radio station, that
guy fighting woids
is on a team that is 1-3-1 in the ETHL, worried about, at the time, a 3-1-1 hockey club in the ECHL. When we have just as many, if not more, personnel problems in our Red Dragon locker room than the Icemen ever have to worry about. Now, granted, obviously something happened with Nathan Moon, and I don't buy for 1 second that he got pouty because of a captaincy thing.
Yeah.
But obviously something happened. There's some disconnect, some relationship issue between him and the staff, ownership, whatever else. Obviously there's something bad there. That was tough to see Nathan Moon go and demand the trade and want out the way he want out. But, I mean, Dirk Southern retires. Isn't he 31 years old?
And he was battling injuries.
And next week, we're having Josh Beaulieu night. He's 28 years old, and he's retired, and he's an assistant captain, and we're going to celebrate him. So this guy's 3 years older than him, and we're going to say that we've got a condition in our locker room because he's injured and he doesn't want to play minor league hockey anymore?
Yeah. Clearly, then, it's a sign of bigger problems.
Wesley Myron. Now, when I saw this post in the asylum, I freaked out because I just read it really quickly, and for some reason I thought it said Bell. And I'm like, holy crap, Bell quit?
Miles Bell.
I thought it was Miles Bell, but it wasn't Miles Bell. Now, I missed the first couple of games of the year because I had no interest in watching Gwinnett play. Because I looked at their roster, I'm like, and that was the Notre Dame-Florida State game.
Right.
I was not leaving that game in my couch and my barbecue to go watch Gwinnett play. And Indy is Indy. So, granted, but does anyone here really remember Myron playing? Like, watching him playing, like, this guy is a difference maker at this level. This is what championships are built on at the ECHL level.
I'll just say this. Someday, when a history book is written about the Evansville Icemen, and knowing this team and those who write about it, it'll probably be written by me. I will make sure there is a chapter entitled The Wesley Myron Era.
Yes.
And it's going to be
beginning
like...
beginning of the end.
It's going to be three sentences, and then the rest of the page will be blank. And then the next chapter will start on the next page.
And the funny thing about this is people are freaking out. Not people. Two people. Two lunatics are freaking out over Wesley Myron leaving the team. And you look at his stats, he was like 2 assists and -3. If we would have traded for this guy, everyone would be pissed off because, this guy can't play defense. He's -3.
We actually did trade for him.
Right.
Future considerations.
Chuck.
Yeah.
So
we gave up a Chuck for this guy to play, two, three games?
But he was -2. We're freaking out because a guy was -2 on the season and decided to go play in Europe or something else?
Well, he was.
Do you honestly remember seeing him skating on Ford Center Ice?
A little bit, but not significantly. And I think people are just upset because he was well on his way to challenging Todd Robinson's plus-minus record. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, so I just do not – I mean, you're taking Nathan Moon issue, true issue, no problem about it. Something bad happened there. We're all the worse for that because I really like Nathan Moon. I mean, you're talking about a guy that injured, makes the road trip, can't skate – and ask the coach if he can go on the radio with me to do color commentating when we were in Elmira last year. I mean, that just quality guy. Did all the No More Bully stuff and everything. Quality guy. Mm-hmm. Our community is going to suffer because Nathan Moon isn't around here anymore. But Dirk Southern retiring? And I like Dirk Southern. Mm-hmm. I said that in the pregame show. But, man, when the body doesn't go anymore, when you're making $16,000 a year, the body doesn't go anymore. And now all of a sudden the players and the equipment manager, this is all falling on the coach's shoulders now. Just utter silliness. Worry about the Red Dragons. Don't worry about the Evansville Iceman organization until we have a better record than them. And on the heels of another drubbing 9-3 on Monday night, we've got our own stuff to worry about.
So that covers Kevinsville.
Yes.
Who is the second recipient of the Lunatic of the Week dishonor?
Well, he is loved by the Jumbotron, obviously, because Tuesday night he was on there about 7 times. And every time he was on there, he was offbeat with his cowbell.
Well, that's not to be... Yeah, of course he was. But who wasn't on the Jumbotron seven times? There was about 40 people there.
No, there was 26, 43.
Yeah.
But anyways, Ryan Huff. And here you know you are in trouble when you put on social media, all I'm gonna say is I agree with Kevin on this one. So he is drinking the Ziegler Kool-Aid.
Well, wait a minute. Who
also, before I got off my rant with Kevin Ziegler, he was this high-profile free agent for the Red Dragons. He has one goal on the season and minus 19. He was minus 14 when he made those comments in three games played. One goal, minus 13.
But what's his Corsi?
Yes, his Corsi is 102, just like his Kevinsville number. But Ryan Huff says, we've got major problems brewing, and this is going to be a long season. So we are going to hold you to that, Ryan Huff, your accountability. So this is going to be a long season. At the time he posted this, the Iceman, 3-1-1. That last team to lose in regulation for the whole ECHL. It is going to be a long season. Well, I can take a long season like that.
The 700 winning percentage?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not too shabby. So what I want to know is, does it make it worse for Kevin that Ryan Huff agreed with him?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that like the kiss of death?
Yes.
Like, well, if you say anything and Ryan Huff says he agrees with you, you should immediately change your opinion to the exact opposite of what you said.
Well, I think that the condemning fact of Ryan Huff is whenever there's a big game or the Stanley Cup playoffs or whatever else, and people are Facebook messaging him in public saying, please don't pick my team, because like he is the ultimate jinx and the proof that whatever is gonna he predicts is wrong.
Right. The fact that he is a St. Louis Blues fan is why the Blues have never won the Stanley Cup.
So, yeah, just I just don't get it. And look, I guess my biggest problem in the whole thing, and just what I want to, I'm making fun of the guys, they're good guys, but why do we get so out of control as fans? Five games into a 72-game season. We haven't even hit the 10% mark of the season.
Math is hard.
And
yeah, well, you're right.
What is the standard that we are basing it on? Either the NHL or any hockey team in general, or an ECHL level, when we've been watching hockey for 4 weeks now with this team, 5 weeks, with training camp included, and we're freaking out because we've had a couple of transactions. We've had a couple of guys call up, and we've had a couple of guys take opportunities in Europe. Has this never happened to a team before?
I can tell you, and I have the dead Shockinator 9000 to prove it, it's not something new.
Yeah, exactly. It's just what stellar organization, Alaska Aces that won the Kelly Cup last year, the Cincinnati Cyclones, what stellar organization that are you looking at that has no player movement, that whose goalies don't get shelled at any point in the season, and never lose? Because at 3-1-1, I think we're playing some pretty good hockey. I don't get it.
And the problem is, if things were significantly better than that, like if this team was winning every game 4-0, half the team would get called up.
Yes.
Because the quickest way to get noticed at this level and not be at this level anymore is do really, really well. So if you can't have it both ways. You either want the team to be really, really good and lose everyone halfway through the season, or be pretty good and hope for the best and try to keep somewhat of a core around and not have everyone disappear as the season goes on.
Yeah, and then get help at the playoffs.
Yeah.
On the crunch, you want to get help from your affiliates. That's right. What they all do.
Yeah. And whoever gets the most players trickle down.
Yep.
At this level, that's what you have to hope, that your AHL affiliate does not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because then the guys that they feel like they can send down to the E to get more work, they'll send your way.
Exactly.
If the AHL team makes the playoffs, they may be calling your best players, and then you're really screwed.
No doubt. So I guess that's the frustration, and I'm open for suggestions. But you tell me that team that goes 72-0 and their goaltenders shut out everything and their power play clicks at above 55%, then, yeah, sign me up, because I want to root for that team too.
Well, I will say right now, our power play is at like 5.5%. Well, it's pretty bad.
You got to go on the power play to change that.
Yeah, that was weird. There was not a single power play for the Icemen against Orlando.
No.
Orlando? Of course, that might have been a good thing because against Wheeling the other night, we had like 3.5 minutes of 5-on-3 and got like 2 shots.
Ridiculous penalty kill for...
And
I'll talk about that Friday night game. I thought the Iceman power play looked great. No panic, no rush. They spent that 2 minutes setting it up perfectly on that 1-5-on-3, and they bang, bang right in front of the net, and that netminder made 2 huge saves. And it's just that's just good penalty. They always say that, you know, it's the old cliche, your goalie's got to be your best penalty killer, mm-hmm. and that they finally broke it down, worked it up perfect. That should have been a goal. That rebound should have been a goal. But he made 2 amazing saves.
Yeah.
So it's just the way it is sometimes.
That was one of those weird games where the goalie gave up 6 goals. And if you just looked at the box score, you didn't watch the game with your own eyeballs, you would have thought that goalie played a terrible game.
Yeah, I mentioned that on the radio,
you know, we
too.
Didn't have a ton of shots in that game, and he gave up 6 goals. But he was good.
Yeah.
He played a good game.
Yep. He just – when this team is awesome. This team, like I mentioned in the first segment, they've got defensive zone issues that need to be coached out. But it, which will happen over the next 10 to 20 games because that's what coaches do. You can't teach your defensive system in 5 days in a training camp.
Yeah.
When you're cutting half the people you brought in, it gets taught through the season. And it'll get taught and everything else, but this team can score like crazy. The offensive skill of this team is unbelievable. You make one mistake, it's in your net. It's sick. It's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So where are we? Booster clubbing?
Yes. The Maniac for Life t-shirt sale ends tonight. The shirt, again, is black with a cowbell full of Iceman catchphrases on the back. Available in sizes small to 3XL. Just $20 per shirt with all proceeds going to the Booster Club. The shirts will be available for pickup starting on Friday, December 5th at the Iceman home game. And that means it's perfect timing to get this as a Christmas gift for the Maniac in your life. And you can order using your credit card on IcemanManiacs.com. Again, the deadline to order is tonight, and this is a one-time-only deal. So if you want one of these, you got to get it now. We will not have extras, and we will not place another order unless we get a ton of demand to do it again. So you've said before you really like the design. I really like the design.
It's awesome.
So if you want it, you want to show that you're a maniac for life and have a cowbell full of catchphrases on your back to wear to the games, get your shirt now.
Maybe next year we can get one with like Ryan Huff and Kevin Ziegler's heads on it or something like that.
Ooh. Hmm.
Lunatic for life.
I like it.
Oh, we got some nameplates too. Saw them at the game last night. Oh, there's some names there.
Yeah.
Oh, I keep hoping Bartus comes back.
Yeah. The Booster Club also got a fresh batch of authentic Iceman locker room nameplates from this season. Some of the guys that were in camp and some of the guys that started the season but are no longer with us. And if you haven't seen them, they look awesome. Caden Patafi designed them, and they have the Evansville skyline in the background with the player's name in the foreground along with the Iceman logo. They look really cool. The prices range from $5 to $30, depending on the player, and I'm not entirely sure who's left in the inventory after Tuesday night's game, but when we first got this batch, there were players in there, including Nathan Moon, Garrett Bartus, Dylan Clark, and Lauren Barron. So give it a look. You can get a big-name player like that, or you can, if you just want one to have one as a stocking stuffer, some of the guys that were in camp that never even played at the Ford Center other than during camp, you can get one of those for just $5. So lots of options there, and all the money, again, goes to the Booster Club. And also we want to thank Brian and Caden Patafi for making sure that the Booster Club gets these. They're a great moneymaker for the club, and we appreciate that they are supplying them to us because it's something cool and very unique that, you know, nobody else has this. The Iceman Igloo does not sell these. The team gives them to us to make money for the Booster Club to then filter back into the organization. So it's pretty cool.
And next meeting, got a Christmas party. We're going to do it this time or what?
We are, yeah. Last year's Christmas party got nixed because of snow and ice and nastiness. But weather permitting, there will be a Christmas party this year. And it is December 14th, and it is members only.
And I need to join. I got Soupy hanging out my door ready to break my fingers because I haven't re-upped on my dues yet. So.
Yeah, our next club meeting is Sunday, November 23rd, before the Iceman home game that afternoon. The game is at 5. The meeting is at 1 at the downtown library. And again, you have to be a Booster Club member to attend the meetings, and you have to be a Booster Club member to attend the Christmas party. And this year's Christmas party will feature the Iceman players.
Well, last year's making, was supposed to it feature was the Iceman players, yeah, too.
And then, yeah, Mother Nature stepped in and thought otherwise. But again, if you want to become a Booster Club member, go to IcemanManiacs.com, click over to the Booster Club page. It's $5 for an individual, $10 for a family. You can get all the forms you need to fill out there, print them off, sign up by filling them in, and bring your paperwork and your money to a game, and you'll be in the Booster Club. Or you can bring it to that meeting. If you want to wait and show up and make your Booster Club debut on our meeting on November 23rd, you can bring your paperwork and your money to that meeting, and we'll let you in once you pay.
Sounds good. Upcoming games, and I can't remember, and if you're listening, it was a great statement by someone last year when we brought in Coach Mullins, because one of our maniacs said, well, if we just beat Elmira, we're a much better team because we went 1-7 against them last year. And I can't remember who said that, so if you're a Facebook friend of mine, go ahead and send me a message. I'll give you credit next week. But we're 0-1 against Elmira, so off again this weekend.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday, the Icemen will be in Elmira taking on the Jackals and, yeah, trying to get some wins. The Icemen are just 2-7-1 all time against Elmira, and they'll hope to change that. The next home game is next Wednesday, the 19th, at 7:15, and it is Josh Beaulieu's retirement party. They will be raising a banner to retire his number 20. And as announced at the game last night, the first 3,000 fans through the doors will get a replica banner of the retiring jersey banner, which begs the question.
Good chance everyone's going to get one.
Everyone in the building, and then some, will have a replica banner. So there you go. The first 3,000, so make sure of the 2,200 who show up that you're in the first 3,000 of those folks.
The dangling tangent.
Yes. Since we are getting an early preview of winter this week blast of cold air.
I hope it doesn't change. If it doesn't get any warmer than this for the next 6 months, I will be a happy man.
By the way, the meteorological term had me thinking about the old music bomb. Did you hear they're calling this an Arctic bomb?
No.
Yeah.
I like it.
I guess the remnants of that super typhoon that hit Alaska has kind of floated up to the North Pole, and it's displaced all the cold air down further south, and they're calling that an Arctic bomb.
Yeah, and I'm the one that speculates. That's just a load of hogwash there. It's blowing.
It's cold.
It's cold.
So anyway,
cold rain.
Because it's cold, simple question. In your life, and you grew up in the north, so
yes,
this
I
is
did.
Probably an impressive story. What is the coldest you have ever felt?
The coldest I have ever felt, I'm going to take you back to 1993, I believe. I may be wrong on my dates. 1993, 1994, but somewhere in there.
The year was 1993.
The year was 1993.
Derek Benigni was rocking out to Kenny G.
The Detroit Lions in the Silverdome defeated the Green Bay Packers in Week 16. They made the playoffs by doing that and got the home game against the same Green Bay Packers the next week. Mm. So I left Sunday after they went to the game, went home, all excited, huge Detroit Lions fan, Barry Sanders, the whole thing. I think it was 1993.
And for those kids who are listening and say, well, Week 16 is not the last week of the season.
Yeah.
It was back then.
Yes,
there were no bye weeks.
True Week 16.
Yeah.
Then we got an Arctic bomb back then, too. And the next day, I went to stand in line for playoff tickets. Negative 27 degrees outside with the wind chill. I waited 2 hours for playoff tickets. Bought 4 tickets. Came home. That winter weather stayed with us the whole entire week. We went out Sunday to tailgate. It was so freaking cold, negative 35 with the wind chill.
Woo.
And by wind chill, I mean it was negative 5 and the wind was blowing 40 miles an hour. And we're out there with the barbecue, trying to make food and everything else. and
stick your head into the grill to warm up.
We were outside for 4 hours in that weather, went inside the Silverdome. Lions, on the last play of the game that they're winning, Favre rolls away from pressure, chucks a bomb wide open, Sterling Sharp, 80-yard touchdown. The Lions lose in their first and last chance in the playoffs until, I think, like 3 years ago.
So did you say
freezing?
Did you say curse you, Brett Favre?
Yeah, Favre. No, we honestly, me and my brother and my two buddies, we just sat there dumbfounded. Just
they pulled a Lions.
We just sat there for 20 minutes. No one said anything. The whole stadium left. The guys were out sweeping up all the cups and popcorn, and we were just sitting in our seats. We couldn't even say anything, and it. About the quietest drive home I've ever had.
93. Who was the Lions quarterback then?
Might have been Scotty Mitchell.
Mitchell, it didn't matter Barry Sanders was around, so who cares who the quarterback was?
I can't remember if Herman Moore was still playing then or not. So, yep. Mark Spindler was one of the defensive linemen. There's a few other names. So, yep, that is the coldest I have ever been.
I think the coldest I ever felt was, well, after pretty much any Iceman home game at Swander, we'd go home.
Oh, and then some of the games at Swander.
And yeah, yeah, that's true. Some of the games at Swander were really bad, where especially where we were up at the top of the stands where that blower was blowing on us for the entire game. But the coldest was Amanda would be down in the scorekeeper's box working the game. And then afterward, we would go home and we'd get into bed. And she would stick her feet on That's the coldest I've ever felt.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that we all have marriage vows, but there is never anything told to you that your lady wife is going to be putting her cold feet on your body during the winter months. And every one of them does it. That is miserable.
Yeah. What is it about females that have no circulation below their ankles?
Well, what does it make them think that just because they got a wedding ring that they can stick those cold pads right on something that's warm?
I know.
There's like no, hey, I'm going to put my cold feet on you. Yeah. It's just like, boom. Wow.
Yeah, I know. And then there's a puddle. Yeah, it's not good. Yeah. So I joke about that being the coldest, but man, they are cold sometimes. I think the coldest really I felt was several years ago.
Make your dangling tangent creep right up inside you.
Yeah, I know. It's not dangling anymore. The coldest I ever felt was a few years ago, we drove over to Louisville for a WWE show, and it was like in January, so it was cold anyway. And it wasn't super cold outside. You know, it was 30s or whatever, kind of normal for January. But I had had a cold, or so I thought it was just a cold, for like a day and a half before that. But we had the tickets, and they weren't cheap, and I didn't feel that bad, so I thought, we'll just go. So we went, we drove over to Louisville for the show, and by the time the show was over, I had a fever to be reckoned with, and it was freezing outside. And I literally, the entire way home, Amanda drove all the way back to Evansville, and I sat completely curled up, heat on full bore with, like, I was as cuddled up as I could possibly get under every layer I could find in the car. And my teeth were chattering the entire drive home. I've never felt that cold. And it wasn't so much because it was cold air temperature.
It was
just the fever. I've never felt like that before, and I hope I never feel like that again.
Yeah, the coldest I've ever been was that playoff game. Yeah, it was so cold. Final thoughts.
Next show is next week.
Should be a good one.
It'll be a good lead-in to Josh Beaulieu's retirement party.
That will be awesome.
Quote-unquote, 3,000 of your closest friends.
Yes.
And everyone will get a free banner.
Yep. I got to finish up a fantasy football show and then drive my butt across town as quickly as possible to make it in time for that one.
I think you'll still get a banner, even if you show up in the middle of the first period. Yeah.
There's a good chance.
What time does the show end?
7 o'clock.
So it's 6 to 7.
6 to 7.
Here on Wired.
Then I got to tear it down. Yep. So.
Yeah. You'll probably make it somewhere in the middle of the first period, and there'll be 1,500 banners left.
He is Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com. For all of your Evansville Iceman information, do you go to the Maniacs Asylum? Do you go to Ryan Huff's Facebook page? Exactly. Do you talk to Kevin Ziegler? No. If you want the true facts, what's going on with this Evansville Iceman Hockey Club. IcemanManiacs.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. IcemanManiacs.com.
What station have you been listening to?
And you've been listening to Iceman Insights.
Am I going to have to add it to the script? Oh, you always forget to plug the show.
You know, when you do football and you say it at every timeout and every turnover, then you get sick of it. You've been listening to Iceman Insights on 96.9 FM Wired Radio.
We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.